Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
He texted me, you know, the day of. I was like, you know, you the guy I wanted. I watched a lot of receivers, and, you know, I won't play with you. And I'm like, I've been saying the same thing. I want to go play with the guy that went number 17. And, you know, he's a great quarterback. I think he's one of the best in the league right now. And, you know, I would love to be catching passes from him. I'm ready for that. Y'all have a great day. Yeah, I can grab some of them.
This is the Buffalo Plus Podcast, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel, presented by Connors and Ferris. Mike Catalana, Dan Fates, I am Jenna Cottrell. We've made it. The NFL draft is now over. Woo! Please be sure to like, comment, subscribe, as well as share. So let's talk our general thoughts on the draft. But I do... Oh.
People seem to like loopy podcasting.
Oh, okay.
We are tired.
We're loopy.
More than usual.
You guys had loopy. Jenna and I had loopy last night. Both of us, I think.
I didn't go, I had to post the pod, so I think I went to bed at 2.
Oh, that wasn't too bad.
No, because
you called me at 11:30 and I was unconscious.
Yeah.
Last night.
You were asleep.
Yeah. Yes.
I covered the Amherst.
Yes.
Who won?
Yes.
Who won? Winners.
All right, let's talk about it. So, Michael.
Yes.
One wide receiver drafted, Keon Coleman, their first pick in the second round, the first pick that they took at 33rd overall. What do you make of this pick? I love it. I can't help it.
As you heard from the open, he's a likable guy.
He is.
He is a character. I love it.
Okay, so here's the way I look at Coleman.
I like
his skill set. I like 85% of his skill set. And I understand that there are certain guys in this league who are built for separation. I think Ladd McConkey can do that. He's a great route runner, right? There are guys who can get open. And I'm not saying Josh Allen doesn't want guys like that.
Yeah.
But there's a reason he was, how many wide receivers? He was the eighth one taken.
Yeah.
Is because he doesn't have that top end speed. And he wasn't known as a guy who can beat you with the route running and the speed. He is known more for going up and getting the ball, those type of plays. But I do think, you know, when Dan Orlovsky compares him to Brandon Marshall.
I got so excited.
Yes. What I'm saying is, and I'll repeat this, these guys have heard like many things I say repeated over and over again. When you do a comp, it doesn't mean the player is that guy. It means he plays like that
or
guy.
Or has moments that remind you of that player.
Potential of that.
Yeah.
Yes. And so when I see that kind of player, I'm like, not everybody is a burner, you know? And Jenna, as we mentioned in last night's podcast, when you asked him about speed, he's like, nobody's caught me. And there are guys with football speed. It's a lot about angles. Listen, it's great to run the 40 and be the fastest. That ain't football.
Yeah.
There's elements of that apply to football, but it's about angles and it's about football speed, wearing the pads, wearing the helmet, doing
leverage.
It. And I think he has a lot of that.
Yeah.
Got a long way to go. He's a young guy, but he's big and he'll go up and get the ball. And his drop rate was really low. There's a lot of things to like about him.
Yeah, and I think if there's people that have probably already are commenting at this point about guys never get caught. Maybe some of the older viewers, Jerry Rice never got caught.
And that was the whole thing.
That was the whole thing. He ran a 4.7, 4.6. It wasn't impressive, but they always said Jerry Rice never got caught. So I was.
Did you just say Keon Coleman is Jerry Rice? Oh my God.
The comp is Jerry Rice. Like the one thing that I find funny is everywhere you look, if there's a guy with a basketball background and you look at anybody, they say plays above the rim.
It's so good.
Like it's mm-hmm. it's the cliche of punching their ticket like to the NCAA tournament or moving day on a golf tournament. It's like what you automatically say. I looked at him because I went back and I looked at what comps were for Mike Evans.
Yeah.
I looked at comps, what Brandon Marshall, like a lot of them, they say like play above the rim. Now, Evans is 6'5". Marshall,
bigger too.
Marshall is also a bigger guy.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it before the second round. Obviously, I wasn't on the pod yesterday, but just the fact of I wasn't so sure. Orlovsky really swayed me. Like, go figure. I love whatever Dan Orlovsky says, and I thought that was poignant. I talked to one of my friends who played football at the ACC, and he talked about how Florida State, like, their offense, he didn't run routes. Like he's very raw. Like, a lot of the plays were going a jump ball, and he did. Like, he is the fact of he's not fast shouldn't take away from the fact that he's a freak athlete. Like, and for me, it was when you think about the basketball background, like Stephon Diggs had some of that release to him and some of that Allen Iverson like crossovers at times. Cole Beasley had a lot of basketball background in his game. So when you think of speed, sometimes you automatically think of quick twitch. He has that. He has great footwork.
Which was what the words I was going to use.
Which is very exciting. To play basketball at the Division I level at Michigan State in the Big Ten, like you have to have good feet.
Right.
And that's a big part about it. So I think that because he's raw in that sense, I am excited for the ability that he can be in the red zone, for the ability of, like I have said before, and I think we talked about one of ours, I do want a guy that can separate, because my fear is if you can't separate against 19 and 20 year olds, are you going to be able to necessarily separate in the NFL? But I think the tools are there. I'm in on it. It took me a little bit. I'm in on it.
He is 20. He's going to be 21 this season. Yeah. So you talk about raw, the potential there. I totally see it. And I feel like it pairs so well for this Bills offense, because we have seen in so many plays, Josh Allen, a play breaks down and there you see Allen running around scrambling, and the ability to have Coleman down the field, be able to have that kind of pitch and catch type of thing. I think that is huge. And also in the red zone, just a guy who's big, who's physical. If you watch some of the catches on his tape, it is honestly unbelievable, some of those catches. And just that ability to come down with the ball in a tight space with hands in your face, all these things. I think I definitely see the upside. And I also am excited for just the personality that he does bring. Because when you're a wide receiver, you know, there is that. Yeah. And Brandon Bean talked about him having that bravado. You know, the Bills are lacking kind of star power. Obviously, you have Josh Allen. You have the name that Von Miller is. But like when you talk about someone that, you know, can have the cameras in his face, have that draw. And I'm not saying he's there yet, but you see the potential of him becoming that type of player, that type of guy. And I just think at first I was kind of unsure, because I was like, yeah, he isn't really a burner.
Yeah.
And Brandon Bean has talked so much about wanting speed. But then you think of the yards after the catch and everything that could be there, and it does make a lot of sense.
First of all, they're still in the market for a wide receiver.
Of course.
There's going to be they will bring in a veteran. There's no question in my mind. They need another player on this roster.
Yeah.
They need another player.
I don't know if I want OBJ.
I don't think it's OBJ.
That's time for another. That's another pod.
Yeah.
Well,
but I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, talking about receivers, Dan, I know that this is not Roma Dunze.
It is not.
Are you sad?
Yeah. I'm sad because I talked myself into Rome. I then talked myself into Brian Thomas. I then came to grips with Xavier Legette.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I was like, again, before the draft, I was one of the guys. I remember talking to Matt Miller. If you haven't seen that one, it's kind of funny now to go back and kind of look at some of the things. Like, Matt Miller straight up told me that Rome wasn't going to get past 9. He was right. He was spot on. He was phenomenal in the coverage. I know you had tweeted it.
Yeah.
Having a friend of the pod on ESPN is pretty cool.
Spot.
Yeah, agreed.
But I ended up kind of, you know, settling in on, I remember I asked Matt Miller, the point was I was saying is, I asked Matt Miller, is Keon Coleman boom or bust? And he was like, no. And he was like, I think he's got the potential to be really solid. And the fact that he was a returner on special teams shows the effort, shows the character of what he shows. And while he's not necessarily the prototypical yak guy, once he gets the ball in his hands, he's a returner.
What? How tall is he? 6?
3?
3?
Yeah. Punt returner?
Yeah.
Kick returner? You don't say it. All right. So, Dan,
yeah,
we felt a little badly about Rome. And we know how close you two were. And so, punch me up here. This is for Dan.
A nice Rome Adunze. Framed photo.
He's smiling.
It's a good-looking guy.
Say, have that right on your desk. You can what could have been? Or,
you
what
know,
could have been?
Honestly, it fit right on the shelf.
It
really would.
Oh, my gosh.
It really would.
What's that meme where it's like the...
Oh, it's perfectly in the shot. He could just be over... maybe we'll move the Dan is right mug down.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
And it's more if the Dan is sad.
Dan is very sad.
There he is.
Yeah.
He's looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, look at that. He actually is looking
at you. We'll get a Keon one too.
Okay.
Yes.
That's fair.
But I mean...
Because it goes well with the Gabe Davis jersey.
Yes. I just think of it as it's the what might have been.
Hey, thanks, man. I didn't bring the beer. I gotta bring the beer.
That's fine.
That's true.
That's fine.
Eagles drafting Cooper DeJean.
I know. So I get a 6-pack and Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
They got him at 40.
And by the way, other guy, the other corner.
Yeah.
And by the way, the trade was with the Washington Commanders. Eagles moved up to 40. Commanders gave him the pick. They got... Now, he may be a bust. Mm-hmm. They got him ahead of the Packers. Commander's going to see him twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's good, that's a big deal. If he's not, so be it. But just saying, trading with teams in the division.
Yeah,
rivals,
the Commanders are a little different than.
It's a rival.
I know we can get to the rest of the class and, you know, as we recap this whole draft class, but I want to ask you guys the question because Jenna is such a great host of this all the time, but I want to set you up for a question.
Well, here we go.
Are you disappointed that it was only one wide receiver taken?
Yeah, I think because, first of all, we had put so much effort into figuring
out which
wide receivers would be a good fit in Buffalo. But yeah, I did expect them to kind of take... a swing on someone else because I thought, okay, you see Keon Coleman, you see the upside, the raw potential, all the things that we've talked about. But Dan, like you mentioned, the speed factor, was there a guy that kind of came to mind, you know, when Javon Baker was still on the board, players like that, when I saw Torrey Franklin go, I was a little upset because I thought I could really see the Bills making a play for a guy like that. So I was disappointed. I mean, they made a lot of picks in day 3, more than I honestly was expecting.
Way more than I thought.
I thought there was no shot they made as many picks as they did.
I'm not usually the research guy, but I was like, when we were talking, I was like, they have not invested in wide receiver for Josh Allen. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
We all know Stephon Diggs, first round pick to get him. I got it. So I did a little research today. I was watching the draft and I tweeted it out. Since 2018, when Josh entered the league, every team, this is up to this year, had drafted a wide receiver in the first 3 rounds, except the Bills and the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I looked at it. Tampa Bay, the year before, had drafted Mike Evans. And Godwin. Godwin had been the year before. I think one was the year before. They were the two guys. Of the other 30 teams, every team took multiple players in the first 3 rounds except Detroit and Miami. And Miami traded 14 first-round picks to get...
I was trying to think of the Packers. That's Watson.
This is 1, 2, and 3 rounds.
Yeah.
Okay? Overall, during that time, 86 wide receivers were taken in the first 3 rounds. The Bills took zero of them.
Is that a lot?
It's pretty unbelievable.
So, yes, I know you had Diggs. And Gabe Davis, I will give Gabe credit for this. I think he played maybe to a third-round level for this team, I would say. At times, you thought it was going to be better. Played a little above that, fourth round. They never invested higher than that. They went with a tight end last year, which is good, and it's a pass catcher. And then this year, going in the second round. But that's incredible to me. And some teams, multiple good teams. Baltimore, Kansas City. Kansas City is whiffed. They keep throwing them out there.
Yeah.
And they keep winning the Super Bowl. I think this has been a fault for Bean the entire time. And so now you're sitting here going, do they take another one? I don't know what they're going to do on that wide receiver room. I'm glad they have a young, athletic, big wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Shakir looks like he can be a player at whatever level. And I think Curtis Samuel is a nice veteran player.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still wanting because, oh, and they have Justin Shorter. Fifth round.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's in there.
What about you?
Yeah, I still think that this room is, I feel like our video on after day one caused a lot of comments.
Yeah, people were big mad.
I think we've talked about it. Again, we can agree to disagree here. Again, comment in as people so well do with some of the things I say. Again, I still think this wide receiver room is a bottom tier wide receiver. Now, I think that Keon Coleman has the potential to be a top 15 wide receiver in the league with his skill set.
At some point.
But there are a lot of other teams, just like what you said, that I went through and I was like, trying to find some that I thought were below the Bills. It's tough right now. Again, I think they've made the step with Keon Coleman. I would have liked to see a Javon Baker. I would have liked to see a Troy Franklin. The speed is just the concern. You mentioned it. They talked about, I went back and I looked through some of my tweet history of like Bean speed. He talks about it every single year because the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the league is getting faster. The Bills have adjusted defensively to the speed. They don't need a 6'5 middle linebacker. They need somebody that can cover speed. And for as good as I think Khalil Shakir can be, I don't want to put these unrealistic expectations of people thinking that Khalil Shakir can be this elite number one guy.
I'm sorry, Jenna. I was going to say, I want somebody to give me the comp. I know I interrupt you. I want somebody to give me the comp of Khalil Shakir as a number one receiver.
Yeah.
Physically the comp. I don't see that guy in the league.
Yeah. I just think Khalil Shakir is a nice player. But he is also, when you talk about the grand scheme of things, untested in terms of what he can do on a wide receiver number one, wide receiver 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B. Like, he is a nice piece, but just because something is nice doesn't mean it can take all these steps. We all want him to succeed.
Yeah.
And also, there is the fear that his ceiling, where he's at, it's a nice ceiling, but who can say he can go that much far beyond it? And I think the draft also is a testament to the emphasis on offense. And I get it. Like, you look at the first round, you look at the first 14 picks, a lot of quarterbacks in there, but there's also the emphasis on the NFL is so geared towards offense. The rules, it favors the offense. And we've seen every other team, I feel like, try to adapt and try to push the barrier and add speed and all these talented players. And I think the Bills have nice pieces, but the fear is, where they're at right now. And again, it's the end of April, but also it needs to be better.
Jenna and I read a lot of the comments. Sometimes
I need to stop.
And listen, I like the comments and a lot of people that are angry or upset. And then when I respond and say, I understand your point, I can see things differently. A lot of times the next message after is, sorry, that was kind of rude and how that came across. It's all, I understand what we're doing here. We give our opinions here. And I remember after the postseason and after the playoffs and the Super Bowl, and everybody was like, Chiefs did it with no wide receivers. The Chiefs did it with this in defense. And I came in here and I was like, I'm doubling down on offense because you're one drive away from beating the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So for as good as the Chiefs have been and they won on defense, I don't think they're necessarily the model that teams are going to try and emulate and say, hey, we don't need any wide receivers. What are you talking about? Look at how the Chiefs did it. That's not a realistic way for 99% of the league to be successful. So I know that people joked around already. Keon Coleman makes that catch that Diggs drops. Maybe. okay, sure.
Yeah.
Again, but that's where I'm looking at is where I'm like, I don't want Trent Sherfield being the guy that has to make plays late in the postseason. I want more depth. And I know it is a little bit of a punchline. You talk about what like Khalil Shakir is like untested to that
extent,
to that expectation.
And that's not a dig at him.
No. We don't know what Justin Shorter is either. Like, I know we do joke around about that, but he is a big, pretty fast. Maybe there is a little bit of
hope. Right.
We've never seen him.
Is the concern, though, is that the injuries.
And you can hope in one hand and shit in another. And that's what we'll see.
See which one fills up
first. And he went on IR for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
With a hamstring.
They were keeping him.
Well, I mean, they
stash.
Did. They
the
kind of they,
stash.
I mean, though, you can, you know, you could put him, but they, I get it.
Yeah.
They did put him on there for the whole year.
But
it's funny. I have faith in this franchise, and maybe it's McDermott, that give him anybody on deep. I shouldn't say anybody.
Yeah.
Give him a defensive guy.
Yeah.
Coaches him up.
Yep.
That team, their defense, whether it was Leslie calling the plays, McDermott calling the plays.
People are going to be big mad at that comment.
Well, if Bobby Babich is calling the plays, this team coaches guys up.
That's what I said.
And you can do it on defense.
Yep.
But on offense, sometimes you just need a man to whoop the other man.
I was thinking about it. I like all the pieces. Again, I can be critical of this wide receiver room. And I do think they have nice pieces and balance and all of these things. But there's going to be a 3rd and 14 that you just need a dude to get open. And I don't want a jag. I don't want just another guy. I want a dude. Stephon Diggs was a dude. He was a guy that you could say, that's why they threw to him 160 times, because he was the dude.
And that's why defenses had to worry about where Stephon Diggs was.
Okay. Yeah, I know, this was a long roundabout.
No, and you're right. And fans will say to us a lot, you have James Cook. You have Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah.
Great. Why are we trying to not do it at the wide receiver position?
Yeah.
Every other team, I'm telling you, yeah, the Chiefs. I mean, it's like, load up. I got people telling me Hollywood Brown stinks and this guy. Okay, maybe he does. All I know is that's a freaking track team that they're putting out there now.
And they've rebuilt that in 2 years.
Yeah.
They went from having nobody last year to getting Rashee Rice and being like, oh, he's turning into a decent player. And now all of a sudden you got more speed and you got more speed and you got more speed. Again, that was again, the video that we put out. Stand by how I feel. I still feel icky about helping the Chiefs. That's the only way I can put it. I just feel icky. I would have hung up the phone.
Yeah.
But that being said, they got Coleman. They drafted a ton of guys. Brandon Bean, after the he just did his, we're recording this at what time, Jenna?
7:19.
On Saturday. Days have blended together.
Yeah.
He said that this is a, he said the Bills are a team in transition. And they've got to fill some holes. They've got to smooth out some edges. They're confident in the leadership that they have, which I agree in 100%. Just, they are betting a lot on culture over talent right now. Like, and when those two things come together, it's a beautiful thing.
Special
it's
things
culture
can happen.
Over proven talent, I would say. They do have some younger guys, like, you know.
But a lot of talent,
yes.
Whether it was talent on the decline or proven talent, It's out the door.
Yes,
that is
true.
So they have to replace a lot of that.
So other guys get a chance. I just would like to see. I actually think with one more player for this offense, I think it can be pretty good.
I agree.
And it's
that's why I get so fired up and people call it whining or complaining. Some people say like, oh, they're not one guy away. I think they are.
Well, one guy to make them just, they need a dynamic element. Still,
it's one guy, but he has to be that guy.
Explosiveness.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I think I've said it before. Like none of these takes that I have are new. I was saying it last year. It's tough to have a 13 play drive without getting a holding call,
yeah,
without getting a false start and going backwards.
Well, I had the comment about Keon Coleman. I had said I liked him. And then when I heard Bean say about the red zone going up, and I had somebody comment to me and they go, we don't need that guy. We have Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. And I'm like, do you watch the games? I think they're good football players. Dalton Kincaid was really good last year. Mm-hmm. They combined for 4 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And show me the highlight of them high-pointing the ball. I mean, Kincaid made that, or Knox made one really nice play in the end zone. Mm-hmm. Josh rolled it. But I'm talking about where you can't guard the guy.
Yep.
And hopefully Coleman is that guy to help them. And again, we don't know how Curtis Samuel will be. He does have speed. He is a fast player. Not in the building. It's true. We don't know. We'll see how some of this plays out. A lot of moving pieces, though.
Well, I think, too, it's you have the upside of Coleman, the expectations. But sometimes it's like you don't want to put too much on his plate also early on. I get it. You continually move the goalpost back, all those things. But, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
He's
a rookie.
He is a rookie.
Look at the numbers
for most
rookies.
And look, the Bills have played rookies before, all this stuff. But at the same point, I think it would be a lot to have a guy, you know, just coming in and be like, all right, you are our number one.
Dalton Kincaid had a really good rookie year. Statistically, very good. I don't think you think of him as a dominant player. I think you think of him
as a
really good piece.
It's unrealistic. And that's the one thing that we talked about is progression, is development linear. It's usually not. And Bean talks about it all the time. When he talks about drafting players in spots that he never wants to, even if they love a guy, they love his character, they love his potential, but he's a third round guy. And you say, well, just take him in the second round. Then everybody's mind thinks he's a second rounder.
Yeah.
He has talked about the fact of like, you don't want to put that unrealistic expectation that's on players. I'm afraid at times fans are like, Donkey K can be Kelsey. Like you're asking him to be a Hall of Famer. You're asking Khalil Shakir to be somebody that he may not be. Khalil Shakir is a very nice wide receiver. Justin Shorter may be a nice wide receiver. Curtis Samuel could be a nice number two, but I don't want to go into a season expecting Curtis Samuel to have 1,000 yards and 100 catches. I think that's an unrealistic expectation.
Especially when we just lived it for 2 years with Gabe Davis. It's not Gabe Davis's jersey.
Gabe Davis's jersey, but if you...
That's a fair point, though.
Yeah.
Because you were always wanting more from Gabe.
Yep.
He had some very nice moments.
Correct. The Bills were wanting more.
And again, he was a really good fourth round wide receiver.
Yeah.
But there was this thought of wanting him to be more.
They got him in the fourth round, had that really nice playoff game. They expected him to continue to progress, mm-hmm. to go into a more of a number two role. And he was unprepared for that and not able to rise to the expectation.
Planned their roster around it.
Correct. That is correct.
All right.
I feel good.
You want to keep going?
Yeah, I just feel...
Real quick. I just love Keon Coleman with the snacks.
Yeah.
It's funny.
He's got a little bit of a Trey White
innocence.
Oh, I could see that.
Excitement, joy when Trey was
early
doing his goalie academy and all this stuff. Like, he has that like...
Tell him about the snacks in case people didn't say it.
We're going to put it in the open too.
Yeah, yeah. He went for the Wegmans chocolate chip cookies first.
That's a veteran move.
That is a pro move.
And by the way, that food was for the media, right?
Yeah, it was in the media.
It's cute that he was like,
can I have a snack?
Yes. You could grab one of the reporters' laptop if you want. They don't care. I mean, seriously. They're going to be like, all right, Keon, take it. You're our top draft pick.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead.
Love it. All right. Do we want to talk about the rest of like Cole Bishop?
Well, let's go through these guys. I love the Cole Bishop pick.
Yes.
I think that is the official turning of the page of Poyer and Hyde. Love them. Great. Micah Hyde, in my opinion, and I think yours, is going to come here to Buffalo and he's going to announce his retirement. Don't think he's coming back at his softball game. Great Bill. Great Bills player.
Fantastic.
You need to get younger there. This is a guy.
Here's a guy.
I like his traits. I think the guy, he's bigger. Short arms. That's what they kept saying about him. He has shorter arms. And they were talking about that impacting him a little bit in coverage, you know, going up to play the ball.
Yeah.
But the guy plays borderline like a linebacker. He can get around the field. I like him as an athlete. Dalton Kincaid's buddy. I think that's the kind of player. He was one of the highest rated safeties. I like Cameron Kitchens out of Miami, but they liked him, and Bishop was really highly rated.
He says shoot.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shoot.
I love, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
He lines
physical.
Up.
Physical. The tackling.
He's everywhere. He blitzes, and I love it. It's some of these moments, it's not for everybody. Like, they don't do it for everybody. When the pick comes in for the team ahead of them, and you get Bean's reaction of, yes.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Bean said he wanted to trade up. He was able to their guy.
Hold on. That's a fake. McDermott's making the pick.
That's right.
He's there. He's telling him, Bean, get me this guy.
He's just puppet strings. Bean doesn't do anything.
I love all the people that give me that. Bean's running the draft.
Yes.
And he's done an overall very good job.
But the fact of, I just love it when you get those reactions of Bean being like, yes, call the guy.
Yeah.
Because then you have other times where they're like, the clock's running down. What are these things? Hey, should we take a call? Should we take this deal? And it was like, nope, we've been trying to get up here. He fell to us. This is awesome. Get this guy on the phone.
Yeah. I love that. I wish, I was telling somebody, maybe when I'm retired, I'll talk the Bills. And I want to sit in that room and watch it. I think it's cool. I
would give your phone to them and just
say, I don't care. I'm not reporting. I want to experience it the way they do. Mm-hmm. And just to shut up, which would be very easy for me. Just, I want to listen to it.
Muzzle.
And I want them going back and forth. I want them
to be a fly on that wall. I would pay an absurd amount of money.
I think it would be fun. I think it'd be
absolutely
fun.
Would love that.
Yeah.
Jenna just would want to know what the snacks are.
Yeah.
No, I'm fascinated by
McDermott with this Raisin Bran.
Respect. Draft day can get really out of hand in terms of what.
Anyhow. Sorry. All right. I think
the camera's
my thought.
Blurry, or is it just because I can't?
By the way, Dan, where are your glasses? Shot.
And my hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have known.
It's a team uniform today.
The call.
Okay. Dwayne Carter.
So this is the pick.
Defensive tackle.
They got. From the Chiefs move, right?
So if
third round, 95, was it 95?
So people were saying in the comments that if Dwayne Carter tackles or like sacks Patrick Mahomes in a big moment, then they'll say,
got him.
It's hard to find those moments. And I hope this kid is good. He's like, what did he play? 14 years at Duke? Was it captain for 13 of them?
Yeah.
He's a three-tech guy. They were talking about it. He's an Ed Oliver backup for now. And then I don't know what it is. Got a lot of good qualities as a defensive lineman. They need depth on the D-line. They need young defensive tackles.
Yep.
This guy has been there, and he's got a lot of playing experience. You know, so.
Every single guy I feel like they've taken in this draft is a high-character guy.
Yep.
It's honestly incredible. Ray Davis, who's the next player.
Awesome. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Doesn't Ray Davis sound like a running back from 1975?
Oh, it does. Yes. Is that the name of the running back in draft day? It's Ray something. I think it is. By the way, did you notice how Dan and I both apologized, but we did cut you off?
Yeah. Now we're just more polite about it.
No, it's honestly comical.
Talk about Ray Davis, because I just think it's in some story.
I feel like the Bills have done a phenomenal job drafting character guys, which is not always the case, but you hear Ray Davis's story and it's honestly incredible. He grew up in San Francisco. He was in the foster care system. Both of his parents at one point were incarcerated. And to hear him talk about how when he was in foster care, essentially like he knew he wanted to find a way through that, the dedication he had to football and how that helped him. He had, friends that he made, like older teachers and stuff that helped him along his journey, but how he wanted to set an example for if kids are struggling and they feel helpless and they feel like they can't, you know, find a way out, that there is his story and there is proof that that opportunity exists. I mean, talk about incredible perspective. And it makes you realize he says that that's how he applies his mindset to the game of football. Like, you can be in my way, but you're not going to stop me.
Love everything about it.
You know what? When I see an athlete, because it could be anybody, but a pro football player, and his numbers are 5'8", 211 pounds. I just think stay away from that guy. I mean, that is like James Harrison, the linebacker, defensive, you know, pass rusher, was just that. Now he's a bigger guy, but like not tall, but just incredible athletically. Because when you're 5'8", 211, like that's something.
That's serious. That's a refrigerator.
Yes.
It's always that the thing of like, I always find it funny when like an NBA player is like, I defied all the odds. Like you're a tree. Like you're six.
You won the genetic lottery.
Like you're 6'10". Like nobody thought you were going to be, nobody thought you were going to make it.
No, like everybody does. Like, yes. Because they look at you and go, do you play basketball?
I can't remember what comedian it is, but he has the bit where he's like, everybody doubted me and they stand up. It's like, nobody thought you were going to be successful in basketball. Like, so like, again, like a guy, like, you know, Zach Edey, it's like, he was probably going to be a pretty good basketball player. At 5'8", you are scratching and clawing every ounce of your will. And I love this because it was one of the things I thought Ty Johnson did a good job in short yardage situations. Ray Davis is going to be a bowling ball coming downhill. And surprisingly, better in the passing game than you may think.
Yeah, caught
seven receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, 94 passes caught. Dan, who's the next pick?
Nope.
Cedric
Van Praan.
Oh, I thought we were going the other one.
Oh, no. Van Praan Granger.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to do
it. It's 20 letters. What do we have? We determined what we're calling him? SVPG or something?
Ooh, I like that.
That's not bad. SVPG.
Yeah.
Started the last three seasons at Georgia.
He blocked for James Cook. He's Georgia. Look,
yes.
Played a ton athletic of football for Georgia. They were short
captain.
Arms. Another guy they kept saying is, again, sometimes the short arms in certain positions is literally the thing that teams go, it makes them worry, you know, an offensive tackle a lot of times where it's like it does impact certain things that they project out. But this dude played in big-time football games for a great program, and they were saying, you will not find a person say a bad thing about him.
Again,
great character guy.
Tons of high-character draft picks.
Yeah.
All right, then there. Yeah, Dan, you want to try?
Eddie.
We're going to call him Eddie.
Edifuan. Ulofosio.
See, this was
pretty good.
That was pretty good.
That'll be the only time I'm close to
saying we're just going
to
call him Eddie.
Eddie.
But Eddie
U. I say he's Eddie U.
Eddie U. I do love that. So he played at Washington. He talked about how he was hyped that the Bills picked him because he said while in school, he was essentially just digesting the Bills defense, studying Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds. And I can't remember which reporter asked, one of our colleagues asked, like, oh, like, what do you think of Terrell Bernard? And he's like, that guy's a star. Like, all right, and let's touch on some of the other guys as well. Javon Solomon, edge guy. Mike, he was a wrestler.
You got to have a wrestler.
Right?
Put up big numbers, a little undersized, which is what has held him back, I think, a little bit in terms of where they had him in the draft. But look, get another athlete in there. It's D-line. They're going to play a lot of people. They need a pass rusher.
Called it a blessing to be with the Bills. Also looked a lot about Von Miller tape, right? He was the one that said it was a blessing and watched a lot of Von.
Yeah. All right. Then there's offensive lineman Tylon Grabel.
Yeah.
Corner Daquan Hardy also was a punt returner. Led the FBS with two punts.
Penn State guy, Lewis Riddick on the broadcast, loved him. Said a dog, competitor. Said this kind of guy, McDermott. We've seen it. Can get out onto the field. So let's see if he can play.
Well, another guy that was pretty loved, Dan, was the International Pathways player, Travis Clayton.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him. Like I'll tell you this, though. He was on Part of My Take. Daniel Jeremiah, not he was. Daniel Jeremiah was on Part of My Take this week previewing players, and they asked him about a freak that may go on day three that nobody knows about. And Daniel Jeremiah said,
Travis Clayton.
And he goes, he's 6'7", 300 pounds. He goes, and the only thing I know about him is England. He goes, he's never took a snap of football. He goes, he rode, played soccer, and boxed. And obviously we know he also has some rugby.
Oh,
yeah. But he just said the fact of, he goes, I don't know how any of that translates into football. He ran a 4.8 40, and he goes, I did watch 15 minutes of him doing drills and running over a bag. And he goes, I'm convinced he can be a starter in the NFL.
Yeah.
It was great. And then to see the Bills take him was.
Google him and look at the picture of him playing rugby. He's a mountain of a man. Jordan Mailata is a guy who had never played before. Eagles drafted him in the 7th round. Jeff Stoutland is his coach. Albert Breer was quoting Stoutland when he said about these kind of guys, he said, sometimes it's better to have guys with no habits than bad habits.
I like that.
It makes total sense.
He's an athlete, and I think at this position, can be taught the right technique. Doesn't mean, I mean, Mailata's played really well, but you're starting out with all the athletic traits, and he doesn't have the miles. Well, he does have the rugby miles, but he doesn't have the miles from football. So I'm excited about him. Love the British accent anyhow.
The British accent always hits.
Yeah.
Layup training camp story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We got a few. Ray
There's
Davis.
A couple great. In there. Yeah. But yeah, you see the upside for sure. From
Keon
Travis
Coleman
Clayton.
And the snacks.
Love it.
This.
Yep. I'm doing that. Calling that. Yeah. All right. Please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the channel as well as share with your fellow Bills friends. We always appreciate it.
We did it.
We did it.
And we're not too loopy.
I give us an A for the draft.
Same.
Wow. I don't know.
I think YouTube has other comments.
Yeah. I did not.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so whiny.
But content numbies.
Yes.
Yeah, we love it. All right. Thank you for joining us on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Mike, Dan, I'm Jenna. We'll catch you next time here on the channel presented by Connors and Ferris. Woo!
Buffalo Plus, your interactive look at the week in football, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.